me this morning, our speaker is going to be Brother Ken Roller. And if you've not ever got to hear him, you missed out on some blessings. But he is going to come share with us what God's laid on his heart this morning to lead off these revival meetings. And so if you would welcome Mr. Ken Roller.
Thank you so very much for the opportunity that we have here this morning. As I was thinking about your cross-country group, I think what they have done physically is pretty well representative of life itself lived for Christ. It's not a dash, is it? Living for Christ is a cross-country kind of thing, where from day to day we go with Him, and like Enoch in the Old Testament, walk with God, or run with Him as the case may be. Such a blessing to be here with you this morning. We have many fond memories of about a year and a half in this church, I guess. And so we come back with anticipation. I have a great admiration for Brother Steve here, and I'm grateful for your having called him to be your servant. This morning, I want to begin by having you recite a Bible verse with me. I think it's kind of key to what God would have us do in this few weeks ahead. That's Psalm 85:6. I'm going to say it a time or two, and then you can repeat it a time or two, and all of you will know it. It goes like this. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Now let's say that. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Now this time, when we say you, we point up, because we're addressing this to God. May you revive us again, or your people may rejoice in you. That verse in the Bible is from Psalm 85. In your hymnal, you will notice that the songs in the hymnal will all be dated. They'll be dated about when it was written. The Psalm is the Hebrew hymn book. And all of these, of course, were written before Christ was ever born. And this was probably one of the latest of the Psalms composed. How do we know that? For the first three verses of it, probably. It is, as a psalmist, you'll notice that it's not written by David. It came along many, many years after David. Written and sung by somebody called the Songs of Korah, Sons of Korah. As they composed this song, and they looked back, first of all, and they remembered, they recollected, they had good memories of the power of God. I love the song she sang this morning, How Great is Our God. And I think as they composed this, they looked, first of all, at how great had God been. The song begins this way, Lord, you've been favorable to your land. You brought back the captivity of Jacob. You've forgiven the iniquity of your people. You've covered all of their sin. Selah. You've taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. You see, Israel had drifted a long, long way from God. The prophets kept warning them, as I believe America needs to be warned today, kept warning them about their ignoring of God or flagrantly disobeying Him. And finally, they said, if you don't stop, God will visit His chastisement on us. Now, when God does that, He does not do it in order to stomp us under His feet. But we need changing. We need turning. And so it happened then that the great nation of Babylonia came and took over Israel, carried away many of the very best and brightest citizens far away to Babylonia. people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and others, living in Jerusalem, really the scum, I guess you'd say, taking many of them away. And then Jeremiah had predicted, he had prophesied, now he said, after 70 years, they're going to be turned loose and brought back. 70 years. So that 70 years went by, and the most powerful nation on earth, Babylonia, fell overnight to Persia. And the king of Persia then declared that he wanted the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem. Wasn't that neat? He not only sent them back, all that wanted to go, but he ordered that enough stuff be sent with them that could rebuild the temple. What if this church were destroyed by a tornado this week? Now, the building might be destroyed, but not the church. But this one, this temple that Solomon did had just been utterly taken down. And it was a symbol of a place where God dwelt. So they went back and they rebuilt that temple. And then another crew went back and rebuilt the walls. And remember what they said in the book of Nehemiah when the walls were rebuilt? And the people repented of sins and wept. And the prophet said, "Woe here," says, "you've repented. This day is holy unto the Lord. Eat, drink, share with your neighbor. For the joy of our Lord is our strength." Remember that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Had a brother-in-law named Richard Schott. He and his wife Mary were missionaries in the Philippine Islands at Davao City and Mindanao for a long time, 50 years or more. And Richard shared with me they'd been in Davao not too long. And they heard about a mountainous tribe named the Ata. And God put it on their heart to reach the Ata for Christ. So Richard took with him a fellow who knew some Ata people. And for 2 days, they hiked high into the mountains of Mindanao. And finally, they got to the Ata. And they began to visit with them through the interpreter. They said to him, to the Ata, we've been on the way here 2 years. And the fellow they talked to said, "Yes, we know. For the last day and a half, we've been following you, and we were going to kill you. But you had such happy faces. You sang. You talked. You rejoiced." Now, let me tell you this. I think that Richard and his friend probably had some fright, don't you? They probably were scared. But what was their strength? The joy of the Lord. Now, I think it's this that revival may be about. I'm going to read more to you. You think back right now and recollect how good God has been to you if you're one of His children. Just like they did in the 85th Psalm. They recall how great God was and what He had done. But then they looked at the present time and they realized that joy, that elation they had, years had passed, and their fellowship with God had gone downhill. And so his first plea in verse 4 is this: "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" There was this realization of some shortcomings. Now, I don't think they were going out and robbing banks and doing things like that. But their life with God had become kind of blah. yours ever feel that way? I'm a preacher. And I think the first person this message was directed to was me. But I began to pray when Brother Steve asked me if I might come and share with you this. This psalm just hit me right in the heart. Will you not revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice in you? And then he follows that up. Notice, will you not revive us? Have any of you in here ever done CPR? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, right back here. You've done CPR. CPR has to be administered to a person who cannot help themselves. There's still life there, right? But as you do that CPR, it's from outside. And so revival, in this sense, is some of us need a spiritual CPR. And just like we cannot do that for ourselves, he said, will you, O God, not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? And the neat thing is, now in this day of this psalm, they knew little or anything about the Holy Spirit. Jesus had not come yet on the earth. He hadn't been here. So we got all kinds of advantages over them. But as God works on the outside, if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And the Bible says sometimes we quench the Spirit. Tonight, after you have the bonfire, I dare say somebody will come in, Steve, and throw water on it and quench it. And you know, sometimes we do that with the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit gets onto us and says, here's what I want you to do. And we say, no, I don't think I want to do that. Let me share with you what's been maybe 7.5 or 8 years ago when you asked me to be your interim pastor. Frankly, I had a wrestling match with God. I wasn't sure that that's what I should do. And so I prayed about it, and God gave the go-ahead. What I'm getting at here is it's so important in our relationship to God to let the Holy Spirit be alive again in us. I think it was Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband was killed in South America as a missionary. And two others died with him, with Jim Elliot. Mrs. Elliot, Elizabeth, and her children stayed on among those people that had murdered her husband. Here's what Elizabeth Elliot says. The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Could I repeat that? The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Think about Elizabeth Elliot there. And that very tribe, the Akas, had murdered her husband. Almost all eventually came to know Jesus. Isn't that great? Now, in this particular one, I think there's about 4 or 5 areas that we need to examine whether we are rejoicing in God. They kind of popped out to us from the scriptures themselves. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. That is so much we want God's will in our lives. Now, does God's will always sound pleasant right at first? When God shows you His will, can it sometimes be discomforting? Yes. Here's what the Bible says of Jesus. When He was faced with the cross, He said, for the joy set before Him, he enjoyed the cross? Mm-mm. The Bible says he endured the cross. Why? The joy set before him. Was a cross an enjoyable thing? It was a horrible thing. And in our own lives, we're asked sometimes by the will of God to do something that's really tough on us. But God has let you know that on the other side of that, there's rejoicing. Do you rejoice in God's will? Now, God's will is very plainly set forward in several places in the Scripture. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a everlasting life. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ and you wonder if he would accept you, what did he say? God is not willing that any should perish. It is God's will that every single person on this earth be saved and spend time with him in heaven. Can we go against God's will? Yes. Remember what Jesus prayed in the garden? Not my will, but thine be done. And I believe that in doing that, you'll find this. When we sing, I surrender all, sometimes that sounds tough. But there is something very elating about being saying, God, here it is. Here's all of it. Are you rejoicing in the will of God? Then he said, I'll hear what God the Lord will speak. Are you rejoicing in his word? Is his word something very, very important to you? One of the great 3:16 verses in the Bible is 2 Peter 3:16. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for four things. Profitable for teaching or doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, and profitable for instruction of righteousness. Have you read lately and daily God's Word, which is profitable? I read some stuff once in a while that's not profitable. I zap it off my Kindle, you know. But His Word. Now, can His Word also be disturbing? Let me tell you a couple of ways it has in my life. See, when I started out being a pastor, I thought I had to do everything. And then I read in Ephesians that I'm to be an equipper of the saints. And if I didn't do my job as a pastor in helping people use their spiritual gifts for the Lord, I was failing. And I know you've found out, Steve, Steve's been a pastor quite a while, that a lot of lay people out there can do things a lot better than I can. Probably you can too. So, that's one thing. And then another thing the Word of God got onto me is convincing me that worry was a sin. My mother was a first-class worrier for half of her life, and then she changed. But the Scripture says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then what? The peace of God will pass us all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds on Him. So do you rejoice in the Word of God, even when the Word of God corrects you, reproves you, instructs you? Rejoice in God's Word. It's all good. Then he mentions here another one. Let them not turn back to folly. Folly is foolishness. Have you ever done anything foolish? You don't have to issue for the testimony, but sometimes we make stupid, if not foolish, decisions. Decisions that the wisdom of God would say, hey, that's not good. That's not good at all. Read the book of Proverbs. Read the book of James. all of those instructions that are wise things to do. Do you know God knows more about computer chips than you do? He certainly knows about 1,000 times more than I do. I even found out that God knows more about lawnmower engines than I do. So I was wrestling with my lawnmower, and my brother is a wonderful mechanic, but not me. And I said, Lord, I need help. Guess what? I got it. God even knows about lawnmowers. He expects me to do my part and be a little bit wise too. But do you rejoice in the wisdom of God? If your wisdom seems to go crosswise with God's wisdom, guess who's wrong? Rejoice in the wisdom of God. I want to bring one more. That is, I've enjoyed the worship here so much this morning. Didn't you, Lila? Just, it's so neat to see all ages of people here and to just hear you sing and rejoice. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Is worship of God, do you rejoice in that? Did you come here this morning with anticipation? Or, it's Sunday again. Guess we got to go to church. To rejoice in the worship of God. Now you say, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. How can I possibly rejoice now? Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul says this to the Philippians, to us, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Where was he when he wrote those words? Picking, eating grapes beside a swimming pool in Florida? No. You know where he was? In prison. Not for robbing a bank, but for carrying out the will of God. How could he rejoice in that? He knew, we ought to all remember this, when our situation looks bleak, and we wonder, where's God? God is not walking up and down the streets of heaven and saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to get old Ken out of that mess? No, God knows. And wherever we are, God is aware of it. And though it may be uncomfortable, Paul says, I can rejoice in it. How many of you would like to have been the Roman jailer tied to Paul? Oh boy, did he get an earful of God, don't you know it? How many jailers were saved because of this situation? Worship. Revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you, in our worship, in your word, in your will, in your ways. Rejoice. As I kind of move out of this, I love the last part of that psalm that says, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall bring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The results of being revived are these wonderful ways of God. Mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. Truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. I was reared being taken to church from the time I was a very small guy. We went to a church in southern Tulsa County, Oklahoma, named Duck Creek. And at age 15, I had gone to Sunday school every Sunday, gone to church every Sunday, usually went to a midweek service, and I knew a lot about God. I could have named you the books of the Bible. I could have told you a whole lot about Jesus. I knew a lot about Him. But it was during a revival meeting on a Thursday night, actually on a Wednesday, that God began to convict me that I'd never been revived. You can't revive somebody that's never been revived. And so God touched my heart and says, Ken, you may know all this stuff, but you don't know me. And so I prayed. And the next evening, Thursday evening at Duck Creek, I sat really close, because when the invitation was given, I wanted to be close. I was scared. And the invitation was given, and this heart of mine was revived at a revival. As I went to the altar and prayed, God did a work in my heart, for which I'm always grateful. So, Brother Steve, as we come to the end of this service, I'm going to ask you to come up in a moment and extend an invitation any way you feel free to. But what I would urge you to do, if God has spoken to you some way this morning about, give me a heart that can rejoice. I need to be that kind of person. Submit to His spiritual CPR this morning. If you found in your heart, now you know a lot about God, or maybe you know very little about Him, but if you know enough to know that you're lost and you need a Savior, He's here for you.